You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints out in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Walls, what you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking moxie joke. Well, party gonna have having the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good afternoon. Hey, good buddy. Good afternoon to you and everybody out there in Bigfoot world. Listen, we're going to do a live show here today. As you know, we've got the BBC right on our backs. They're recording everything, and they want to hear what it's like to be on the Bigfoot Live radio and ferret all the different listeners out there that have these wonderful questions that come into us each and every week. And at this point in time, what we're going to do is we're going to have a special show today, as you all know. And the big question is the Patterson/Gimlin footage real? And that's going to be our topic today. And those of you who've got the guts enough to call in and get on this subject, we're going to try to answer them as best we can. And if you don't have the guts enough to call in on this, you can also call in and let us know what's going on in the Bigfoot world where you are. Marco, how you doing today, buddy?
I am doing great, Tom. How about you?
Well, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. If you really want to know the truth, I'm a little weak under the gills.
God, we both have this week. But
well,
it's okay. Feeling
yeah,
good.
You have the excuse, though. I don't. And I happen to partake, I guess is the word. I partook last night, and I shouldn't have. And I'll tell you this, and I haven't done it in many, many moons, but nevertheless, I'm here, and we have a duty to our listeners to find out all about what's going on in the Bigfoot world. Who do we have on the line, first off?
By golly, I'll tell you what. How's about a question from our good friend? Give me the number here. Connie Gilbert down there.
Fantastic. Let's talk to Connie. Connie, you out there?
Hey, Connie.
Tom?
Here you
good
go.
Good morning. Actually, it is
Tom?
Afternoon. Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Tom. What I want to ask is, since it's the Patterson film, can you just, like, explain to us, is it real or isn't it? Because I personally believe it's real. So, there you go. That's my question.
Well, I'm glad that you feel that it's real. First of all, how is the weather up there in Canada?
It's like, I think, 45 to 50 today. It's a little bit cloudy, but springtime's on the way. I got some morning doves out my living room window here building a nest. So, yeah, springtime's on the way here.
Well, you know, when you have those doves building that nest outside your window, remember one thing. Remember the word L-O-V-E, love. That's what doves are all about. Remember that, Connie. Do I believe in the Patterson-Gimlin film? Well, let me just put it to you this way, and I'm going to walk the middle of the fence for right now. I got into this whole business looking for Bigfoot because of that film. What I found out later on down the line really surprised me. But at the same point in time, on my treks, in my tenure of excess of 30-some-odd years, I've seen the creature six times, as many of you know. So, do I believe in the Patterson film? I think the jury is out right at this point in time. Do I know that Bigfoot is out there? You bet. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.
Bye-bye. You have a great, great day. Who else we got on the line there? Marco?
And we got, I'll tell you what. How about Steve Dismore?
Fantastic. Steve, how is it down there in Kentucky, my buddy?
Well, the weather's getting right. It's time to go out looking. My thing is, you've seen the creature six times. I've had my encounters. You've actually got one of my more impressive encounters on video. I've never seen a creature stand still long enough and walk like it did, being filmed, to get that kind of footage. And
you know,
I just cannot understand how that was possible.
That's a great statement. And, you know, when I think back on it, you know, you're for those of you who did not hear what Steve just said, he says, you know, he's had encounters, I've had encounters, a lot of people have had encounters. Why is it in the Patterson-Gimlin film, that they were there and it took so much footage? And let's be fair about the whole thing. What is it, a minute and 6 seconds or something? I don't know, but that's a long time when you stop and you look at something. And how come nobody else in the world has ever gotten any footage that long, that length of time? Was it staged? Was it posed? I wasn't there. I can't say. The experts say that the jury's out. I can only tell you one thing. Look at that famous one still that they took from that footage. I think it was 363 or 367. And as the creature lifts its leg, or a person lifts its leg, you could see the pad on the bottom of the foot. I think that tells the whole story. But you need to look at it. You need to discern it yourself and say, hey, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, and then come up with your own opinion. Incidentally, my condolences go out to you and your family on a personal note, because I heard what happened, and I'm very sorry.
Well, somehow some wires got crossed. My wife had actually passed, but they actually had brought her back. Her mental state isn't like it used to be because she was without oxygen for so long. But they did actually revive her. She had passed away, but they got her back. But and I appreciate it, and I appreciate everybody that has talked to me and reached out to me like that. But the one other factor that I wanted to say before I get off here, because I know the time's limited, is that I've watched that film in every form and fashion, and like I say, every experience I've ever had, that creature does not turn around and give you the good pose. And its business is to get hidden. It stays hidden. Even if you know it's there, it does not present itself as a glamour shot. I've took a few pictures, and every one of them turned out to be the same way. It runs, it gets away, it doesn't hang out.
You know what? I tend to believe in what you say. I understand where you're coming from. And one more time, I have to walk the middle of the fence at this point in time until our new movie gets released, Bigfoot Lives 2. Thank you so much for being on and taking part of your day and sharing with us today, Steve.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Steve Dismore from Kentucky. Who's next on the list there, Mr. Marco Bill?
Well, Tom, before we went on to the next guest, I just wanted to ask you a question. Now, we've had a couple of shows, about three, as a matter of fact, concerning this very subject. And with the real players on the show, Philip Morris, I think but we did have Bob Gimlin one time, right? And the guy that wore the suit?
Bob Hieronymus.
Bob Hieronymus. And we had about a two-hour special on that, or a three-hour special. It was a 40-year anniversary, right?
That was three years ago.
Yeah. And a lot of things came out of there that shattered my, didn't completely shatter it, but it shattered my, what I previously believed. And so it made me have to do a little more investigation. I think that's where you're going too, right? You're riding that fence because we just, there's one way or another, there's so many scientific facts out there support one side, and then there's, I don't know if it's scientific facts, but there's scientific investigations. And then there's a completely other side of the fence where we have individuals that have under oath saying that they were a part of this thing. So, I mean, it's a difficult thing to grasp, I think. And there's a lot of people out there with a lot of indecision. But do I believe in Bigfoot? You better believe I do. Anyway,
No. That's great because you know it's very seldom that I get to hear your viewpoint on things, and it was very well put, very well stated too. So, what was the bottom line? What was yes or no? Do you believe or you don't?
I'm walking the fence too because I mean each time I go into this, we've had some of our friends. That have done the investigations on the film itself. One goes one way, one goes another way, and they're both. They both have substantive evidence that they show that would lend to both of their beliefs. And that's what tears me apart. I mean, there's two different sides of the fence. They've got supportive. On their side, supportive things that support their theories and their belief. And so that makes it more difficult for me. And I'm just, like you said, I'm on the fence. One way or the other, I haven't confirmed it yet. I still have doubts and I still have confirmations. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. I'll tell you this, though. You're waffling and you're volleying back and forth, and I appreciate that. Who else we got online, Marco?
Well, heck, let's go out to Rex Howdy Shell.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go out to Rex Howdy Shell. He's up there in the New England States. How are you, Rex?
Just fine, Tom. How are you?
I'm making it. You know, I'm doing well. Listen, first off, before we get to that question, I sent you out an assignment up there in Maine. What happened? Talk to me. Tell me everything.
Well, we checked out the two different locations of sighting, and unfortunately, we found no evidence. We did find somebody's cute little huge hand-drawn footprint with three toes. Kind of cute, but that's all we found. We went out behind that one location into the forest, about a whole hour we spent out there just seeing if we could walk out there and scare something in front of us to run away. But no, we didn't. That didn't happen. So I gave Kayla an assignment, homework, to go and actually get a first-hand interview with the two guys that saw it just 9 days ago.
Just so you didn't get the chance to talk to the witnesses themselves?
No, they were unfortunately unavailable on the Saturday I went out yesterday. So she's going to have to follow up on her own, and if it's promising, I'll go back out.
Fantastic, and thanks for taking from your time and going out and checking that out. What do you think about this Patterson-Gimlin film, by the way? What's your personal thought?
I've got two ideas about the film. The first one is, you know, when I see a Bigfoot, and I have not seen a Bigfoot yet, I'm kind of right now a skeptic looking for proof, and you know me, I'm looking a lot for that proof. When I see Bigfoot, I want him to do something superhuman, okay? It could just be a guy in a suit, and that's what the Patterson film is. There's nothing in there that's superhuman. It could be a man in a suit, and therefore it is indefinitive. That's my first position on the film, is it's indefinitive. My second opinion is, if I am to believe Bob Hieronymus and Philip Morris, that Roger Patterson was a showman and he was just pulling off a prank, it seems to me that this prank, after it did not get exposed after a couple of weeks, that the film had gained a life of its own. And that after that, Patterson was just riding that fame, because there was nothing immediately hoaxy about it. It was so well done that it could not be exposed immediately. And until to this day, you know, M.K. Davis has analyzed it, and he's leaning toward that it's authentic. But I'm just kind of wondering, I'm kind of leaning toward believing Philip Morris, I guess, thinking that they did a clever trick, and it just was well done and hasn't been exposed yet, but it's still tough to make the call.
You know what? That's probably one of the best synopses I've heard pertaining to this film. And it just goes to show you, brilliance does exude in your court. I want to thank you very much for you taking the time and double-fold going out there to Maine and checking on that for us, number one. And number two, giving us your input on this film. Have a
great
day.
You're
welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
What do you think of that answer there, Marco?
Well, if I would have been able to explain it, that's probably what I would have explained. I didn't find the same words, but I think Rex hit it right on the head. That's exactly how I look at it.
Who else we got on the line?
Well, we got Jan Allen. Jan,
great.
Are you there?
I'm here, buddy.
Hey, Jan, how you doing? What's it like down there in Georgia today?
It is going beautifully. I'll tell you what, I didn't think me and you were ever going to hook up.
Well, we're here now, good buddy.
I hear you. Hey, my statement on a couple of things was that, yeah, I believe, I'm with Connie, I believe that the creature in the footage is authentic. Going back to looking at this documentary that they had on the History Channel here recently, they had hooked up the man walking across the room and put all the electrodes on him and everything, and more or less taught him how to walk like the creature walked. And they even stated that, you know, that was hard for him to do there. The thing was, though, is that he was walking on a level floor, a level plane, and this creature wasn't walking on a level plane. It was walking over terrain. And also, the other comment on the padding on the foot would have been, I've heard it before, would have been the sand from the sandbar that it walked across from the creek. So,
yeah, Jan, but you know that sand from the sandbar would have only stayed partially on the bottom of a foot, not completely. Remember, and look at that. Because after it went from the sandbar, it went into hard ground, and you could actually see that.
Right. But wouldn't that also be depending on if the creature had been in the water? On basically on how wet the bottom of the foot was as to how long it stayed clumped. I mean, I've only seen, you know, a couple of the frames where it actually showed the padding, you know, of the foot, not where it walked for a great distance, still showing the padding of the foot. So I haven't seen that. And I can understand exactly what you're saying, that, you know, once it hit hard ground, it would start to come off. But I would have a tendency to think, too, it would be on how wet was the foot on the bottom, you know, when it clumped the sand up to it.
Jan, you made the statement, not me, good buddy. I've seen it before. I've been to that area. I know what it's all about. And, again,
yeah,
I'm not going to relinquish at this point in time how I really feel. I'm walking in the middle of the fence because I know the truth. I'm going to tell you that. I know the truth. And nobody
right.
will get that out of me until the new movie comes out. But I'm curious as hell to think, you know, see what you think. And I love your observations, and they are real, and that's what it's all about.
Well, I try to do my best. You know, I've been doing this like you a long, long time, and I'm not out to fake anybody, hoax anybody, or anything else. Yeah, I'm out here to seek the truth, just as you are, so we can, you know, get laws passed to protect this creature and, you know, stop people from killing it. But, you know, until then, we got a long road to travel, but, you know, we'll get there.
You know what? I got to tell you something. You just made a comment. You said that you got to want to stop people from killing this creature. I didn't know that any of them have been killed. But that's okay. I think I understand your meaning.
Well, yeah. No, not that they've been killed that we know of anyway. But who knows what the, you know, as far as that goes, who knows what the government's done. But, you know, if you like me, you want to protect them. And that's what my whole goal is to find the proof that's needed to, you know, to get laws passed to protect these creatures.
I think what we need to do, Jan, is to make sure that the world knows that these creatures are out there first. And the only way we're going to actually do that is get the good DNA in which we're trying to do, or if there's been one that's been fallen, i.e. from natural death or otherwise.
Amen. I do agree with you there. I do have a question for you. What's your theory as far as their dead goes?
I personally believe that they bury their dead.
I do, too. I've always felt that, and that explains the reasons of, you know, why. I've been asked that question a gazillion times, of why haven't we found bones or found the body of one? And when you go into theories, but I believe that they bury their dead, not in a six-foot grave as we do, but they bury them in a shallow grave. And, you know, you can go back to the forest and what the forest does to remains of dead wildlife. You know, it's just like a construction crew, you know, tearing things apart. And it doesn't take long for it to, you know, to get rid of a body.
Your observations are parroting mine. So, choir son, I know exactly where you're coming from on that.
Well, I thank you, Tom. I mean, I like to think that I'm on the right page also. And, you know, like I said, between you, me, and, you know, the other true researchers out there, we're going to find this and bring it to a close.
Thanks for taking from your day today, my brother. Thank you so much, and it was an honor to have you on the show with me today.
Well, thank you, Tom, and you have a super weekend of what's left of it anyway.
Bye-bye.
And bye-bye.
Hey, Marco, I'm going to take a quick break. Why don't you take the show on from here, okay?
Okay, we got it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is J.C. Johnson up here in Arizona. J.C., are you there, my friend?
I'm here, Mr. Marco. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, Tom just had to excuse himself here for a couple minutes, but... It's towards the end of the show here, but Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat.
The, oh, no.
What is your feeling on the Patterson film?
I was there with Tom in when we went to go visit Philip Morris, and you know I was actually running backup camera with Brian Mazzola, and I saw the way Philip Morris presented all his evidence and so forth. I'm kind of sitting on the fence to it. If we go back to the PNG film. What I've got a problem with is the face and the foot. And, you know, once again, we go back to the padding on the foot. I've got a problem with that. And I've got a problem with the face. That doesn't look like anything I've ever seen. And I've had my share of encounters. I've been so close to them, I could feel their breath and body heat on my back. I think I know what I'm looking at. So, yeah, I do have some problems with the PNG film. But once again, I think the jury is still out on this.
I understand. I mean, when you look at both sides of the fence, and I told Tom I was in the middle of the fence too, but basically I'm waffling. But yeah, I look at.
Oh, I hate to add. I hate to add to this, but I'm in the same boat. This Java Bob. I'm in the same boat. I agree with JP.
Yeah.
My brother.
Hi, JP.
How are you, Java Bob?
Well, I'm good. You know, this is a really controversial subject. There's so many people out there that look to this as the ultimate source. You know, and a lot of these people, that's what keeps them involved in this thing. You know, but I've been out in the field enough to see enough other things that I don't need this to keep me involved. And so I look at it a little bit more openly. And just like you said, it doesn't look like anything I've ever seen out in the field. But I don't want to dash anybody's hopes, you know. If that's what keeps them going, then that's fine. And I don't know for sure. I was there with you, JC, out there when we interviewed all these people, and it surely gave me a lot of doubts, and there's a lot of things about it that I'm not comfortable with. But I don't know. I just really don't know.
I agree, you know, and I'm not going to mention names, but, you know, there are some people who did kind of orchestrate and bring some of these people together for a book. You and I were discussing the book the other day, and you know my feelings on this book, but once again,
by the way, I'm in that
jury still out. I know you are.
No.
What's this Bigfoot list?
And I'm in this from before.
It's
I hope so. You know, we've got it all shot, and Brian is working on it, and because of other projects have come in between, it's really taken kind of a back seat, but it's still in the works. You know, all the film is there. It's a matter of the final editing and everything else and getting it all printed up, but you know how involved that can be when you do it on a commercial level.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so what do you think of Leroy Blunden's work?
I've been looking at it, and, you know, I kind of see the hat he's saying that pops out in the earlier frames and so forth. But once again, you know, I'm still on the fence. I am.
Measurable things that I can find is the timing, in the time the film was released and the time it would take to get it all processed and get it back. You know, in those days, you couldn't just send, 16 millimeter Kodak film to Walgreens for processing. It just didn't happen. It took a couple of weeks to get it back.
Exactly. And he had a very, for the time, he had a fairly expensive camera. And what was available to him as far as film, he had some really super duper high grade film. You know, and if I was, you know, if someone was going to be hoaxing someone, he'd get the crappiest film you could. He'd have the crappiest camera you could get. You know, he went the extra mile to have the good camera, the good film. So that doesn't, you know, that really doesn't feel like a hoax to me when we look at all the different things.
Well, you know, he rented the camera, so I don't know what it came with. You know, there's just a lot of questions there, you know, so.
Hey, JC, this is Tom back again. And hi, Jabba Bob. How are you, Bison?
Good. How are you, Tom?
Well, I'm getting better. I'm getting better, and thanks for asking. You know, I just caught the tail end of your statement there, and it's a wise comment that you made. But I think Jabba Bob came up with the greatest solution, what he just said. You know, he rented that camera. And back in those days, I want you to know, it was Kodak film. It was, remember the Kodachrome? They made a song about it back in the 60s. Yeah. Remember that? You remember that?
Simon and Garfunkel.
That's it, Simon and Garfunkel. At the same point in time, I want you to know that all film was being developed in a place called Palo Alto, California, on Page Mill Road. Bob, you may remember that Kodak. Everybody had to send their film in to get it done. Or in those days, everybody used to bring it to the corner drugstore. Do you remember that? You used to go to the drugstore to get your film developed. Now they have places that develop film. But, you know, we used to go to the drugstores to get it done. And it was an incredible thing that all film at that point in time was all sent to Palo Alto, California, where the factory was, where the developing actually was done. I mean, now you go on any corner of any metropolitan city, and there's a place that develops film now in 1 hour. It's a whole new aspect. You know, you can go on one side of the fence and say, hey, you know, back in those days, 40-some-odd years ago, it took an awful lot, and they had these guys now in Hollywood go and try to reproduce what was done then. Remember one thing. We met the guy that supposedly made this suit. We were at his factory. We saw some incredible work that he's done. He told us that he sold the suit to Patterson himself for $435. We found out that what happened was, to bulk it up, the guys used fishing wader boots that went all the way up to the hips and the butt, and that he put in a pillow in the back to make the ass look good. And he put some stuff in there to make the pendulous breasts. And he shaved it, and Philip Morris told him how to do the magic to the hairs to make it look so real. And we caught all of this on film, JC. And you're going to get to see it. But remember, I told at the beginning of the show that I'm going to walk the middle of the fence here, because this film has become the holy grail in the Bigfoot world. And you know, as I know, that we're just trying to seek the truth here. Sometimes it gets distorted, all right? Just like what's happened with us in the past with these clowns. It's just totally amazing. But that's okay. Water seeks its own level. The big guy in the sky is the final judge when it comes to all of the play calls here. All we're going to be able to do, JC, is like you do, is we're going to put the evidence out there, and it's going to be for the world to decide. And you know what? We all know which way the chips are going to fall, don't we?
Hopefully to the side of truth.
That's the only thing that we can hope and pray for, JC. And you know what? It's an honor to have you here with me today. It's been a long time since we've talked. And please send my extended thanks and heartfelt warmth and love to everybody up there in Four Corners. Would you do that for me?
Will do, sir.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you very much.
JB, it's always good to talk to JC, isn't it?
It is. It is. He's a great guy, and, you know, he's got his fingers on the pulse of everything that's going on out there in Arizona. So it's always good to have him bring us up to date and keep us informed.
I thought he was in New Mexico.
Well, yeah, it's the Four Corners area. Depending on which way you're facing, you can be in one of four states.
That's right.
Yes, he is. He actually lives in New Mexico, but he works in Arizona. He works in Colorado. He works in Utah, and in Arizona as well.
You know, the amazing thing here is here we're hearing from people all over the United States and Canada, okay? And I'm noticing in the chat room there's people here in Ireland. My gosh, this has really crossed over, hasn't it, Bob? People from all over the nation. I'll never forget. You know, we started this show 3.5 years ago, and we've got a vast audience. I mean, we go out now to 32 countries around this world. Is that not huge or what?
That is huge. And, you know, I keep the demographics and everything on the website. And by golly, we're getting a larger and larger audience every week. You know, people are coming in from all over the world. And one of the biggest demographics we have is actually people from Mexico and that area. I mean, these people are just flocking to see what's going on here. It's amazing, just amazing.
Goes to show you that the Bigfoot world is a vast one, isn't it?
It sure is, and it's really, really quite large. There's so many people, but there's so many people that kind of sit quietly in the background and watch it. And then, of course, we have our regulars who are jump right at the chance to get involved every chance they get with it. So we're really fortunate in the people that work with us and support us. Really great folks, and we couldn't do it without them.
I'm gonna put your feet to the fire right now, JB. What do you think about
right.
the Patterson Gimlin film?
Well, like I was trying to explain, excuse me, just a minute. Like I was trying to explain to JC, you know, it's one of those things where there's so many people that are so enamored by it that I'm hesitant to really get too much information, but I have a hard time with it. It just doesn't look like things that I'm familiar with, if you know what I mean. I've seen things out in the woods that a lot of people probably have never gotten an opportunity to see, and I've never seen a creature that looks anything like that.
You know, I got to tell you, Bob, I reflect on what Connie said, Steve said, JC, Marco, Rex. It just blows my mind that if you take a little bit from each one of those people and you put it all together to get one, you come out with the answer. Let that ponder in your mind for a while.
Yeah, you know, I have my views, and I can't say for sure. No one can say for sure except for the people that were there. And when we talk to the people that were there, we got a different answer than we hear on the media all the time. So,
I was there as you were there. You know, we've got sworn statements from people. Okay, this is the thing that boggles the mind. Okay. And then I look at that film, and I've looked at it many, 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 many times, just as have you and others in this world. Okay. And I have never seen anything walk quite like that, except for a man. And that's the thing.
Yeah, and I know that man.
Yeah, and
I
you
know that man, and we have his walk on film, don't we?
That's right. We both have it.
Bob Aramis, the Bob Aramis walk.
Exactly. And you know, here's a man that's still alive. He's taken polygraph tests. He has taken sworn affidavit tests. He's passed the polygraphs, by the way. And he tells the world. He tells them the story. But it goes back to that whole thing. It's the holy grail of the Bigfoot footage in the Bigfoot field. And no matter what you say, what you do, and what you... I believe if Roger Patterson came back from the grave and got in front of a camera and told everybody today and says, hey, that was a hoax and I perpetrated this hoax, everybody would say Roger Patterson's full of crap. No, it isn't a hoax. It's real.
You're probably right, Tom. You know, while you were interviewing Bob, I was sitting down over by the garage talking to his mother. His mother. And she shared with me about when he brought the car home and he said, showed him what was in the trunk and the kids started playing with it and here's the suit and all. And he told them, just put it back and don't worry about it. Now, his mother is, what, 90? Close to 90 years old, I would guess. Of course, he doesn't look it, but, you know, he's our age or older. And by golly, why would his mother lie? Then his school friends, his chums from school came by, and when I took them aside and talked to them, they all thought of the same thing. Well, we came by the local drive-in where all of us hung out, and he opened up the trunk of his car and said, look at this. I can't tell you what it's about. Just remember you saw it. Someday you might need to know.
And you know what? This is the stuff behind the scenes that nobody knows. And you know what? It will be exposed at the right time and fashion. And that's what I've told everybody, and just like at the top of the hour, that we have to walk that middle of the fence due to the fact that when the new movie comes out, Bigfoot Lives 2, it's going to tell it all, don't you think?
Yeah, oh, I know so. I know so. It's amazing stuff, and it opened my eyes. You know, I always had my suspicions. You know, I wasn't quite sure. You know, I'm basically a skeptic at heart, and after we, you know, first, before any of this happened, I had met, thanks to you, I'd met M.K. Davis. And M.K. Davis is a staunch believer in the film, and he did some amazing work. And after seeing some of that, I was like, oh, my gosh, maybe there's something to this. But then after meeting all the players, the people that were supposedly really involved here, then, of course, my original skepticism came right on back. So that's kind of where I am today.
You're definitely right, Bob, and we just happen to have our fingers on the pulse a lot closer than most of the people because, as you say, we met the players, Roger's widow, Patty, Bob Hieronymus, the other relatives of the people, the man that made the suit, and the list goes on and on and on. I just hope.
Yeah, we even got a chance to talk to neighbors and friends and, you know, not just a couple of people there, but people that just happened to come by, you know, as friends. And without any special introduction or anything, just took them aside and casually spoke to them. And they all collaborated with what Bob was telling us. So, I don't know. It's a whole lot different than when you just watch it on a computer screen or you know, hear about it on a blog. When it's a whole lot different when you get involved with the people that are actually involved and hear it from their mouths.
You're exactly right, Bob. Well, listen, thanks so much. Listen, I'm going to call it a day for myself now, folks, but you guys can work out the rest of the hour, Bob and
well,
Marco.
Why don't you just do the closing thing, because we're about 15 minutes over.
Yeah. You know what? You're right, because I haven't changed my clocks yet. Oh, my goodness. I was a bad boy. Well, I'll do that. I'll be more than happy to do that. And, Bob, JB, stay close to the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, till next time, America, kudos. Bye-bye.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right
now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for the facts.